What's up, everybody? This is Nick Bannock, and you're listening to the Learn Paid Media Podcast. Today, I'm talking to you about YouTube advertising, some of the new things coming up, some of the different targeting methods. There's a few things I want to cover today, and then we'll probably go deeper into some of the key strategies to go after for certain verticals and things like that with YouTube on another episode. But today, I just want to give a couple quick updates with some of the success that I'm having on YouTube advertising and things that I think will be helpful for everyone. First thing, you'll notice if you go to YouTube, I do this on an incognito window or within a different browser that I don't typically use. And what you do is go to YouTube and do a search. See what happens after you do that search. What I've been finding is that I'm getting ads now. The little yellow ad banner on the bottom left, similar to what it looks like on a regular search result. So it kind of looks like the little yellow ad thing. It was kind of the way that the SERP looked a few years ago in some respects. It's a little bit different than how it looks now. But essentially what will happen is when you go to YouTube and you do a search for something, you'll get ads that are actually Google search ads because they're using YouTube as a Google search partner. Now, I actually confirmed this with some of my Google reps that this is rolled out to a lot of people. And I don't know if this is going to be permanent or what. You know, things change pretty quickly. But previously, what would happen when you did a YouTube search, you would get video ads, YouTube ads, that would show up in the placements, like as like a search result. And that was pretty cool when that was going on, but this is an interesting change that they're making. It seems like they're maybe trying to get some more volume out of people that are using YouTube as a search engine. So if someone goes to YouTube, maybe they do a search for, you know, some sort of review, or they do a search for some sort of how-to or whatever it is, or they look to solve a problem and they're using YouTube to solve that problem. Well, now, if you have coverage on those keywords, you can show up there. So I have clients that are opted in search partners and their ads show up there. So you need to be opted in search partners for this. Essentially, YouTube is being treated as a search partner currently. So if you're just on Google search only and you don't have search partners enabled in your search campaigns, you won't show up on YouTube, and this is going to be a big miss for a lot of people. So first thing, go ahead and enable search partners on some of your campaigns and see what you get with recent results. I know sometimes search partners can really, sometimes they can also be really good, and this is definitely a win, having your ad show up in a YouTube search. Okay, so I wanted to cover that. It's not necessarily YouTube advertising, but it is YouTube related. The next thing I want to talk about is some of the targeting methods on YouTube and some of the different things that you can be doing there. So one other development is the lead form ads. So now what you can do is you can run ads on YouTube with an actual lead form, very similar to what you're going to do when you're running lead form ads on Facebook or LinkedIn. They have some other things in the works. I can't speak to all of them, but I can tell you that I've already looked on some of my accounts, and I have this where I can run a YouTube campaign with an in-stream, you know, skippable ad, and instead of expanding it to go to the website when they click on it, it will just expand out a form. And the forms are pretty cool because you can collect typical stuff, name, email, that kind of thing, but you can add extra questions. They're sort of pre-built questions, like what industry are you in, what's your company size, stuff like that, but it's very applicable to B2B. There's also very applicable to B2C. There's a lot of options in there. And you can make the answers multiple choice. And you can even put in what the answers have to be so they have to choose. And that is a pretty useful thing because let's say you are a B2B advertiser and one of your things is that the company has to be at least 10 employees to be an MQL. Because if the company's smaller than 10 employees, maybe they're too small to use your product or whatever. Well, then what you can do is you can have a question on there, you know, what company, what's your company size? And you could have, you know, 0 to 5 employees, 5 to 9 employees, 10 to 20 employees, you know, 20 plus employees as your options. and then you'll be able to qualify the leads a little bit better through the form and see what you're getting. So I think this is a huge win for a lot of advertisers that want to promote things with YouTube the same way that they do with like Facebook or LinkedIn. You can use this to promote your content and do a lead form capture, but it's also just a way to be in front of really relevant audiences and not have them leaving YouTube, because a lot of people don't like to click on the YouTube ad, leave YouTube, and do something else when they're trying to watch a video about something. So I think this is a big win, and I'm starting to roll out testing for this now, so I just wanted to share that with everybody. I don't have a lot of results on it yet because it's so new to what we're doing, but I just wanted to share it as an update that I think that everybody should look at testing and be excited about. Next thing is targeting. So this is going to be a little bit longer, but I just want to share this because the thing with YouTube targeting and placements, it's really important that you understand how you're going to show up to people based on what the targeting is that you're doing. So if you're doing a campaign where you're trying to drive conversions, you're typically going to be doing skippable video in stream. And the benefit there, of course, I've said this before, is that if your video is 30 seconds or longer, you only pay if they watch 30 seconds. If it's less than 30 seconds, you only pay if they watch the whole thing. So if they watch, 26 seconds of a 35-second video and then they hit skip, you just got a free 26-second view of your content, and that's a pretty powerful thing because now you can start targeting people who watched portions of your video. You can target people that did the whole thing, watch a portion of it, whatever it is. So that's an option. But also, your brand just got in front of somebody for free. Now, if they did watch 30 seconds or the whole thing, if it's shorter than 30 seconds or longer, whatever, then you get billed for a billable view. And again, you can target people that saw it but didn't take action on the ad. So those are some powerful things that you should be doing with your targeting. You should be basically doing, I almost call it like a, it's like a mid-level retargeting. It's not like typical retargeting where, people that bounced off your site or abandoned the form or whatever, abandoned their cart. It's not that type of retargeting. It's more of like a nurture retargeting where you're trying to still get people to take the action that you want. And this is a really powerful thing when you start thinking about it with the lead form ads. If you're running a lead form ad, well, they might have seen your ad but not actually filled out the form yet, and they didn't go to your site because there wasn't really an option to do that. Well, now you can target people that watched the video, didn't fill out the lead form ad yet, and retarget them. Try to get them to fill it out. Maybe change up the creative that you're serving them, something like that. So there's a lot of potential here with nurturing people along before they become an initial lead. All right, moving back on to driving conversions. When you're driving conversions with YouTube and you're doing skippables, you have to be really clear with your targeting. I think people forget that with YouTube, it's not an or targeting system. It's an and targeting system. So when you're doing a regular display campaign on Google, let's say, and you have a, whatever it is, an interest-based audience, and you have topics and other stuff, it treats them independently of each other. It doesn't combine everything automatically, whereas with YouTube, it combines these things together. So if you have a YouTube campaign and you have essentially interests and topics, it means that the criteria is that they have to be served somebody that is in your interest and also about the topic that you're going after on YouTube. So basically, like, if I have a custom intent audience on YouTube that I built and it's based off my top search keywords, essentially, well, with that type of thing, what's going to happen is they're going to go after those people that are in my custom intent audience on YouTube based on their search history. But then let's say I have topics in there. So maybe I have my custom intent audience and then I have the topic business software. Let's just say that's one of the topics that's available, or enterprise software, something like that. Well, that would mean they have to be watching content about enterprise software and be in my custom intent audience. So the cool thing here is if you get pretty granular with it, you can essentially make really, really specific long tail targeting. So you can have a custom intent audience with topics and, let's say, demographics, because you can combine all three of these things. So what you could actually do is you could have an ad group that is targeting a specific custom intent audience specific topic, and also is in a specific age demographic, and let's just say like household income demographic. Well, then later on, you can basically target the same exact ad group, duplicate it, but change the topic to a different topic. And then maybe you do the same thing, but you change the interest to a different interest audience. And so essentially, you can have all these very granular, targeted, I call them almost like long tail audience targeting ad groups. Now, you don't want to go ridiculous with this and do every single age demo and all this other stuff. What you can do is get some insights from how the campaign is performing and start removing things that aren't working when you first get live, and then get it honed in on those specific audiences and targeting. And then the ones that aren't performing as well, you can maybe break out and go after a little bit of a different way. So maybe use different creative for the different demographic, or use different creative for the different topic that they're viewing. So maybe for some reason you want to show up on topics about enterprise software, but then maybe you also want to show up on topics of sports for some reason. Well, maybe you use different creative to appeal to the consumers on those different areas when you're doing prospecting. I think that you can get really creative with these long tail audiences. And I think that there's just a huge amount of potential here because you have custom intent audiences. You can also do, you still do like keywords. You can still do all these different topics. You can even target channels if you wanted to. So, you know, instead of just doing topics, you could actually do channel placements where you identify YouTube channels that are worth it. And then maybe you go after a specific demographics that are viewing content on those channels. So there's a lot of potential there, too, to build out pretty large account structures and actually hit your CPA goals. It's a lot different when you're doing this on YouTube versus what happens when you go after Facebook, let's say. When you're doing Facebook prospecting, you get a huge benefit of having the audience size be very large and having the algorithm find the right people. But with YouTube, I found that it's good to have a little bit of both. So what I've been doing lately is I'll have some pretty large audience targets for YouTube where maybe I'm just targeting some similar audiences, or I've built some really large custom intent audiences, or even uploaded some customer lists, stuff like that. And I'm not really restricting it too much, and I have a really large reach, and it's working great for me on a target CPA. But then what I'll do is I'll have these really granular ones that get an even better CPA. The volume might not be as high, but it's worth it for me to go pretty aggressive there and to try to get in front of the right people. This is all talking about in-stream, however, skippable in-stream. So the other thing I just want to bring up real quick is that when you start getting out of the drive conversions goal and you start going kind of more towards like a consideration goal or awareness type goal, you get a little bit more availability for where you show up. So you can start showing up as a discovery or in discovery format. It's really confusing now because I'll do another episode on discovery campaigns, which is a whole different campaign type. But then with YouTube, there's the in discovery or whatever. I miss when they used to just call it in display. But anyway, what I'm talking about here is not the skippables, but actually the featured video recommendations. So somebody's watching content and you're showing up on the right-hand side as like a featured video that they can choose to click on. That format is different. You're not going to get, in my experience, as many conversions with that. However, it does work really well on the retargeting side with just kind of appealing to certain people. It can also work well with these long-tail audiences, because now you know that you're showing up next to relevant content. You know, I remember back in the day, I used to always get these ads on YouTube from some guy who was trying to sell these DVDs on, you know, fitness and six packs or whatever. I forget what the guy was called. I think it was like Six Pack Shortcuts or something like that. I don't know. I never consumed his content or whatever, but I just remember getting his ads as a featured video all the time. Even when I was watching content that was totally irrelevant, I didn't even know how he was coming after me or why he identified me as somebody to target. I mean, I had an interest in fitness or whatever, but I wasn't going to consume his content. I already did my own types of working out and all that other stuff. But he was showing up next to like videos about anything, music videos, whatever, a long time ago. So I don't know if he was just getting in early back when it was like really cheap inventory or something, but I wouldn't recommend taking an approach like that. What I would do is take more of like a retargeting approach, maybe target people who did watch your video. Now you have a whole list of people who watched your video when it was skippable, but they chose to watch it. Well, now you can target them with maybe this like in discovery format as a sponsored video on the side. You can also hone in with certain topics so that you know, all right, this is a video that's about, you know, financial technology software. So I'm going to show up next to people that are watching videos about financial technology. It just makes sense. And it can also work well when you're identifying certain channels and placements where you know that your ideal avatar would be. So again, as you think about YouTube, think about your ideal avatar and what they might be going to YouTube for. You don't want to just be targeting people when they're watching music videos and that sort of thing. It's not going to work for you. What you want to do is try to find people that are doing research there and then get in front of them when they're in market for what you have to offer for them. So again, YouTube has a huge amount of potential. There's so much consumption on YouTube right now, and I'm getting great results on it for my clients. So I just wanted to share some of those updates, and I also just wanted to say I would love to connect with all of you. So go and find me on Instagram at Nick Bannick, on Twitter at Nick Bannick. You can find me on, connect with me on LinkedIn. But I think Instagram is the area where I'm doing the most content right now, where I've been doing some Q&As and answering people's questions about marketing and whatnot. You can also send me a DM there. And then you can subscribe to my email list on my website. So check that out, because I'm going to have some exclusives coming up there soon. But until the next time, take care.